you to turn with me to Psalm 32 this morning. As you're turning there, I will make some comments here. I guess this is the official end of my sabbatical year, which I have found to be refreshing. There were a number of books that I read. There was a week at SMBI Ministers Fellowship that I took time to. We had thought maybe we'd get to go to the Holy Land sometime this year, but that is still on the shelf. I've wished for that for decades, but it doesn't seem to be the right time now. But thanks be to God, we're together today, and I just invite you to soak up Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Now, there are many things that could be picked out of here. I could have picked up the theme of my hiding place. And truly, God is a place of security and hiding, a place of refuge. We could have looked at how God guides us with his eye. We could look about some of the joy that there is in the Lord in the ending, which is related in one way to what I did choose to talk about, and that is the joy of forgiveness. Blessed is the man, is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed, happy, free, clean, pure, renewed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You know, we may hide the real me, the real us, if I stay true. We may cover it up. We may, you know, in fact, that is where one of the great struggles is, because God, who's made us in his image, made us to relate to him, to be known, and as he wants to be known, as he wants to relate. So we want to be known, but as Julie Ackerman Link said, one of the most difficult inner conflicts is the desire on the one hand to be known and that fear of being known on the other hand. And again, it's related to that conflict that comes because we're fallen people. God, who created us to be known, and we want to be known, yet we also have what we call the dark side, which is kind of a euphemism for our sins and our weaknesses that we recognize are part of us as fallen human people. And having come to that knowledge that we are imperfect and that we are fallen causes us at times to pull the veil, to be silent, as David said. And yet what happens, like it did for him, is that there is a guilt of conscience. And The bones grow old, he says. The groaning is all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. So it is that we struggle in this thing. Well, the good news is that there's forgiveness. The good news is that we can confess, which needs to precede, which brings us to the graciousness of God. D.L. Moody once said, "The voice of sin may be loud, but the voice of forgiveness is louder." Praise God! Satan, who desires us to doubt God's goodness and think somehow that God is withholding something from us and puts the temptations before us so that you and I are tempted to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, discover that that's a lie. And we discover that taking that way leads us to emptiness, to guilt, and we come back again in trust to the God who never let us down, the God who has created us, who desires to be with us, the God who yet calls us to repentance and openness. We know that it's tough to be open at home and in the church fellowship. But as we learn to experience the graciousness of God and the forgiveness of God, we learn that He desires to restore us. Then we learn to trust. And as we learn the fellowship of a body of believers, not that this place or a place like this is a showcase of perfect saints, but that this is a hospital for forgiven sinners and for those who yet need forgiveness as we go this way. And God bless you for daring to open your hearts and extend your forgiveness to me and to all of the brothers here. God's forgiveness is rooted in His grace, I believe. Now we think, I've been saying some of these things about the one side versus the other. There's the desire to be known versus the fear of being known. There's this contrast of God having created us to be known in perfection and then the fallen nature with our sins and our weaknesses. There's the contrast of confession on the one hand and then the silence and the covering over, and putting our best foot forward, which isn't maybe always wrong or wrong in itself, but if it's a part of the cover, then it's not good. And then there's the blessedness and the forgiveness that we experience, the joy that we have as we recognize that God is a forgiving God upon the confession of our sins and that He restores us to relationship to Him. What a blessing. On the other hand, there's the silence, there's the guilt of conscience, there's the condemnation that you and I have experienced, no doubt, in our pilgrimage here. I believe that God's desire, though, is to restore us. He wants the relationship. And in the New Testament, Paul says, and this will be familiar to you today, "For the grace of God that brings us salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." And there's more, but I'm going to pause there to note that the grace of God extends us salvation and forgiveness, but it also, at the same time, teaches us to live right. That relationship with God is a relationship of learning of Him. And I have 2 points I wanted to make, so I'll have to make them quickly. This leads us into struggles, too. Another struggle that we might have is to forgive others. And one of the books that I was reading in the last year is a book by Paul J. Meyer on forgiveness, the ultimate miracle. And in his introduction, he says that he's, to his knowledge, he doesn't know of anybody that his father forgave. By contrast, his mother was a very forgiving person. And he examined the differences. He gave the example of his father having emigrated to America, and only one of his sisters emigrated with him, although he had two, there were three total. And at Paul's birth, the sister made the mistake of identifying or observing that his ears were large, and his father didn't speak to her for the rest of his life. Now that is really, really extreme. Not only that, but his brother-in-law married to his wife's sister. This is Paul's father's brother-in-law, who was married to the mother's sister, was also an immigrant, and Paul's father told him, now when you're at my house, you speak English, we're in America now, you don't speak German anymore, or you don't get to come back to my property. And this man named Otto crossed that line, spoke German one more time, and then he spent the rest of his days not coming back on that property, because that's that. And Paul's father wasn't a forgiving man. So on Thanksgiving time, he'd come with his wife to the end of the drive, and the wife would walk the 100 yards to the house. He'd sit in the car for the duration of the Thanksgiving family time, and Paul would sneak out the back door with a plate of food, climb over the fence, stay low along the fence till he got out to the road, climb the fence again, and come around to the car on the other side to give him his Thanksgiving meal. That is quite a story. But when Paul got to growing up, and one time when he was young, his father came home in a bad temper or something, and the mother, who had worked hard that day to put together a good meal, he said it would have been a great meal. The father picked up, he didn't say why, but he picked up the four corners of the tablecloth, and all the food and the pots and pans were put into this one ball, and he threw it out the back door. And he stood in awe at his mother, who was patient, long-suffering, and turning the other cheek at this. She said, "Why didn't you throw the skillet at him?" And she said, "Well, the way of Jesus is to turn the other cheek. And I've been with him for 20 years now, and I'm not about now to turn the other way." Sometime later, Paul said to his mother, "I like your way the best. I see that you are happy, and you've got lots of friends. My father doesn't seem happy, and he doesn't have very many friends." And she said, "Paul, you're at the crossroads. You've got to choose which way you're going to go." In Galatians, Paul says, there are two different ways we can be. We can be in the wasteland of wickedness, or we can be in the garden of the fruit of the Spirit. And in that listing of the fruit of the Spirit is one that I think fits in here. And that is that spirit of gentleness, that fruit of gentleness or kindness. The others all fit around it too, but it's a gift of God, that grace that he extends to us, that gives us the joy of forgiveness, that allows us to work through these things and learn of him, and in learning of him, we can extend that grace to others. Let us kneel for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessed